The children think I am a role model. They are not confused about me being a lesbian. They know. And the parents do not pretend that I'm not. This is a fascinating thing that we are witnessing.
She says she loves you. And you know that can't be bad.
Let me know that you're okay now. Say it's all right tonight.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Republicans rumble over U.S. marriage equality, a Latina lesbian council member cores the Big Apple, and cooking up contemporary urban folk and acoustic minestrone in the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Rick Watts.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 28, 2004. As the U.S. geared up for the Republican National Convention this week, there was controversy over same-gender marriage on two fronts. The 110-member National Platform Committee easily agreed to a paragraph entitled Protecting Marriage, which supports amending the U.S. Constitution to recognize only heterosexual marriages. It also states that neither federal nor state judges and bureaucrats should force states to recognize other living arrangements as equivalent to marriage, and that the legal recognition and accompanying benefits should be preserved for heterosexual marriages. The same committee rejected a proposal from the Gay and Lesbian Log Cabin Republicans and other more liberal groups within the party entitled the Party Unity Plank, which stated, "We recognize and respect that Republicans of good faith may not agree with all the planks in the party's platform. This is particularly the case with regards to those planks dealing with abortion, family planning, and gay and lesbian issues." The non-binding party platform will be voted on by all the delegates at the convention in the coming week.
Republican division on the marriage issue was highlighted more dramatically this week as Vice President Dick Cheney publicly differed from President George W. Bush's position. At an Iowa campaign stop, an audience member asked Cheney to say from his heart what he thinks of homosexual marriages. Cheney responded with a rare public acknowledgement of the lesbian orientation of his long partner daughter Mary, who was backstage at the time, saying, "Lynn and I have a gay daughter, so it's an issue our family is very familiar with." He referred to his remarks in the 2000 campaign that that's appropriately a matter for states to decide. He went on to say that the president makes basic policy for the administration, and he's made it clear that he does, in fact, support a constitutional amendment on this issue. But at this point, my own preference is as I stated.
The religious right was shocked at Cheney's apparent opposition to the federal marriage amendment and harshly criticized him. Gay and lesbian groups quickly seized on it. The National Human Rights Campaign created a TV spot based on Cheney's remarks.
A father speaks.
Lynn and I have a gay daughter. We have two daughters, and we have enormous pride in both of them.
The vice president spoke out against the federal marriage amendment.
That's appropriately a matter for the states to decide. That's how it ought to best be handled.
He spoke from the heart for millions of parents.
My general view is that freedom means freedom for everyone. People ought to be free to enter into any kind of relationship they want to.
Freedom is for everyone. Discrimination is wrong. What if it was your child, Mr. President?
Democratic vice presidential candidate John Edwards caustically told a campaign forum that the vice president disagrees with the president on this. Somebody forgot to tell him what he was supposed to say, I guess. That's despite the fact that neither Edwards nor his running mate John Kerry support equal marriage rights, so their own opposition to the federal marriage amendment basically puts them in agreement with Cheney's position. In fact, Kerry has supported the move to amend the Constitution in his own state of Massachusetts to end marriage equality there, although he was also one of a handful of U.S. senators to vote against the 1996 Federal Defense of Marriage Act.
Congressmember from California, Mary Bono, has decided to skip her party's national convention, partly as a protest of the party's position against marriage equality, on behalf of her heavily gay Palm Springs area constituency. Also absent will be openly gay Republican Washington, D.C. Council member David Catania. Although he'd been selected as a delegate in February, he was stripped of his credential by the local party organization in May after publicly declaring his opposition to Bush's re-election. He'd already raised tens of thousands of dollars for Bush's re-election campaign, where the president first called for the federal marriage amendment and thereby lost Catania's support. In the 2000 campaign, Catania had been a member of the so-called Austin 12, a hand-picked group of gay Republicans who met with Bush after the log cabin Republicans had begun actively opposing his candidacy.
In New Zealand, parliamentary hearings on the government's civil union bill have sparked large demonstrations. One opposition campaign called Enough is Enough, led by the Maori church group Destiny New Zealand, began with a march and rally of nearly 1,000 in Auckland in early August and peaked with a march of 5,000 to 7,500 to the parliament in Wellington this week. That's one of the biggest demonstrations ever seen on the parliament grounds. Some 1,500 to 2,000 civil union supporters were already demonstrating outside parliament when the opposition march arrived. Prime Minister Helen Clark had issued a call for calm, and no violence was reported. But transsexual Member of Parliament Georgina Baer and Associate Justice Minister David Benson Pope were only two of many bystanders who were reminded of Nazi Germany by Destiny's black clothes and impassioned rhetoric. The Justice and Electoral Law Select Committee is in the process of hearing 46 of more than 2,000 submissions on the legislation designed to end discrimination based on marital status and sexual orientation, which has already passed its first vote. Among those testifying this week was openly lesbian former MP Marilyn Waring, who criticized the government's move for falling short of full marriage equality.
A South African lesbian couple's lawsuit to open marriage to same-gender couples reached the Supreme Court of Appeal in Bloemfontein this week. Marie Faure and Cecilia Botois were appealing a decision by the Pretoria High Court last year that rejected their bid for legal recognition. Their attorney argued that South Africa's one-man, one-woman common law definition of marriage excludes gay and lesbian couples from rights and privileges open to heterosexuals, violating constitutional guarantees of equal treatment. The court has not yet announced when it will hand down a judgment.
Canada will have two new justices with gay-supportive track records when the National Supreme Court reviews the federal government's questions on marriage equality in October. This week, Prime Minister Paul Martin nominated Justices Louise Charron and Rosalie Abella to fill vacancies on the High Court. Both currently sit on the Ontario Court of Appeal, the body which was the first in Canada to open legal marriage to same-gender couples. Each is considered a strong advocate for the equality guarantees of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The nominees are the first ever to go through something of a public review process, as an advisory panel was allowed to question the Justice Minister. That panel gave its approval this week, although representatives from the opposition Conservative Party refused to sign off. However, Canadian law gives the power to install the justices entirely to the Prime Minister, who's expected to take the final step shortly.
Legal recognition of a relationship isn't always advantageous, a Brazilian lesbian couple has learned. In mid-August, an election judge denied the partner of the current mayor of Viseu the chance to run for the same post in October. The decision was based on a national law prohibiting one spouse from succeeding the other as mayor, and the judge wrote that the rejected candidate and the incumbent mayor have been having a year-long relationship based on love, mutual respect, and support comparable to that normally existing between married heterosexual couples. Therefore, they are subject to the same election regulations as our heterosexual spouses. What the judge did not discuss was that there is only limited legal recognition of same-gender partners available only in certain locales in Brazil. Viseu is a town of nearly 50,000 in the state of Pará. The law prohibits Mayor Astrid Maria de Cunha from seeking a third term herself, despite her popularity. But her partner, Yolinia Rebelo Fernandes, had been leading the polls before the judge ended her candidacy, ANSA reported.
The small contingent of openly gay and lesbian competitors at the Athens Olympics added two more medals this week to the three silvers they won last week. Openly lesbian fencer Imke Duplitzer shared silver for the German women's team Epée. The U.S. equestrian team that took bronze in dressage included open gays Gunther Seidel and Robert Dover, the team captain.
And finally, the Australian government's bill to deny legal recognition to same-gender marriage is drawing a variety of protests, demonstrations, advertisements, legal action, and calls for the Governor-General to deny royal assent to the bill that both houses of the federal legislature have approved. But one protest is more unusual. A group has claimed a previously uninhabited Australian territory and is trying to secede from the nation to become the Gay and Lesbian Kingdom of the Coral Sea Islands. They actually sent their Declaration of Independence to the Prime Minister and the Governor-General in mid-June as part of Brisbane's Pride celebration. The Australian government has said it won't recognize the secession, but the kingdom intends to pursue further legal action to establish its independence. Emperor Dale Anderson believes gays and lesbians have a right to territorial compensation for the government's unjust enrichment through discrimination. The kingdom essentially consists of the 3 square kilometers of Cato Island. There's no harbor there at the end of the 6-hour boat ride from the Queensland coast, but the kingdom already has its national flag, the rainbow flag, and coat of arms, the pink triangle, and plans to print camp postage stamps and literal pink dollars.
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 28, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
It's the first for a piano rock band, the second for an insightful lyricist, and the third for a 60s city girl. Later in the program. New York City Councilmember Margarita Lopez already had quite a reputation as a firebrand of community-based activism when she became the first openly lesbian Puerto Rican elected to office in the United States. She came out in 1970 when that was not an easy thing to do, but she says that's informed her activism ever since. For 2 decades, she's been a passionate advocate for the homeless and mentally ill, for fair working conditions, and for people living with AIDS in her Lower East Side district, while at the same time an outspoken champion of queer rights. Lopez might well score another first for Latina lesbians if Manhattan voters elect her their borough president later this year. This Way Out's John Beaupre sat down for a chat with Councilmember Lopez recently and began the discussion by asking her if she's been disappointed that lesbians and gay men don't turn out in as much force to support Latino issues as Latinos often do in support of LGBT issues.
I always puzzle and fascinated when I don't see the presence of the gay community on the issues that affect the people of color community in general. I always puzzle about that. And although people confuse the question of, oh, no, the gay community was there, we need to make very clear the gay community has not been there because institutionally speaking, they don't show up. What they show up is all of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender members of the community who are progressive, who have progressive politics, and they are naturally part of that issue and go there to support that. But they don't go there to support that as gay members. They go there to support that as the ideology that they sustain, which is very different than when the Latino and African-American community or Asian community come out to support gay issues. They come out as an ethnicity, as a race, as a particular ethnic race group of people who got together based on that and go there to represent that group of people to defend and demand equality for gay, lesbian, transgender, and bisexual people.
In the bigger picture then, both as a public figure and as an activist, what kind of marks are you giving? This is the Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association convention. What kind of marks do you give our journalists, our members, in how they have covered these issues?
Well, part of the journalists, group of people inside of the gay community sometimes surprise me very, very much because when they cover me, for example, or cover the issues that we cover in the council, it had to be always from the angle and perspective of how this affects the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. And if it doesn't, then I don't report on it. I can tell you, for example, that when we talk about housing and not understand that that's a gay issue, we are cutting ourselves very short. I'm going to tell you this. The majority of the women on the shelter system in New York City are lesbians, and we don't even realize that. The majority of the single women in the shelter system in New York City are lesbians. We have an enormous amount of transgender members of our community who are in the shelter system also. And we don't cover housing as a lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual issue because we cannot expand our views and understand that our problems go beyond the single right-oriented mentality we have.
It would seem to me your passion is really, really contagious for the issues that you're interested in.
Yes. Let me tell you a story in order to express this point. One time after September 11, a couple of weeks after September 11, I was touring all of the schools in my district because the children in my district witnessed September 11 and they were victimized directly by September 11. And I went to one of the schools to talk to the children because we were trying to make them understand that what happened here was not going to happen again and that they were safe. Then I go to one of the schools and one of the children from the school, the Latino young boy, came to me and asked me a question and said, Margarita, do we have heroes? And I was puzzled by the question that he asked. I said, what do you mean if we have heroes, sweetie? He said, because I never see Latinos in the TV with the September 11. Then I said, and what is a hero for you? You know, the firefighters. They are not Latinos. Then I look at the young boy. I cried that day because what he was talking to me was for looking for a role model that would speak about September 11 and how we contribute to save September 11. Now, the role model that he didn't saw in the TV, he didn't saw it because the firefighter force in New York City is 93 white male. And he couldn't saw the heroes that were reflecting our skin and who we were because those were the workers that are part of the removal of asbestos. And the asbestos union workers are 93% Latinos. Those ones were not in TV. And they were down there in the hall in the September 11th. Removing bodies, removing the garbage that was created by the bomb that was put in there. And they were not part of the hero image. Then I said this story to tell you that for the time that I have been elected to office, I find boys of 6, 7, 5 years old that see me on the street, run to me, kiss me, hug me, and tell me how much they love me. In the beginning that this was happening to me, I felt very bad because I felt like we don't have role models to show to the Latinos, African-American children in my community. They think I am a role model, a lousy city council member of New York City. And it took me a long time to figure out that indeed I am a role model and that the children were right when they run and hug me and kiss me and told me, they had never seen a celebrity, and that I am a celebrity for them. It took me a long time to understand that. And I want you to know, those children know very clear that I'm gay. They are not confused about me not being a lesbian. They know I am a lesbian. And the parents do not hide or pretend that I'm not. Then this is a fascinating thing that we are witnessing.
How has the atmosphere been in the New York City Council? Have you felt welcome and comfortable even when you disagreed on policy issues with the other council members?
Yes, I have been embraced with respect, and I have been embraced with a lot of respect of do not mess with this woman. This woman mean what she said, and she do not play no game. You know, a lot of people need to understand that I run as an insurgent, and the party did not embrace me. It was not a candidacy of somebody that was supported by the power of the Democratic Party. The Speaker of the State of New York put a candidate against me, and I defeated him. Then the defeat of that, it was not done by Margarita. It was done by the people that for years and years worked with me in every issue that you can imagine. Then my voice is a strong voice. It's because I have millions of voices that join my voice, and that's the way I become such a vociferant person for justice and fairness. It is the voices of women. It is the voices of children, the voices of men who today suffer the biggest unemployment in our city. 45% of black men in the city are unemployed. 45%. Then my voice is the voice of that black man. And when I speak, that's the way that I am listened to. You know, it's not a voice that I speak just to be in the news. If you want to talk to me, you better know that what I'm going to tell you is coming gay forward. Like other people say, straightforward, I said gay forward.
New York City Councilmember Margarita Lopez was interviewed by This Way Out's John Beaupre.
Una comunidad informada es una comunidad fuerte. Hola, esta es la concejal de Nueva York, Margarita López, pidiéndote que sigas escuchando al programa This Way Out, internacional de la comunidad gay y lesbiana, magazine de radio.
A lesbian musician who brings jazz improvisation to the folk tradition, a gay singer-songwriter who creates snapshots of our lives and times, and a queer rock band that plays up the drama are the stars of this month's Audiophile.
For her third solo album, KJ Denner brings us a stunning mix of folk and jazz. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. The album is called Girl Like Me.
Little Mary stays up late at night. The clock keeps ticking. It's putting up a real good fight. Don't trust the mirror if it don't feel good. Nobody knows you in this neighborhood. No.
I call the music that I write and perform urban folk and jazz. And urban folk, this is folk music as taken from someone who grew up in New York City in the 60s and the 70s. And the jazz part really is about the improvisation that the band and I do with my music.
And the album also contains a very unique cover version of a Beatles song.
Think you've lost your love? Well, I saw her yesterday. It's you she's thinking of. She told me what to say. She said she loves you, and you know that can't be bad. She loves you, and you know that you should be glad.
Find out more about the album Girl Like Me by KJ Dennert at www.kjdennert.com. That's www.kjdennert.com.
Express Cafe is the name of the second solo album by Provincetown artist Peter Donnelly.
Say it's all right. Let me know that you're okay now. Say it's all right tonight. Hold on to me, even though you're so far away now. Hold on to me tonight.
With his warm voice and insightful lyrics, Donnelly brings us close to his heart and connects with our lives.
I would describe my CD and musical style as contemporary folk. It's almost like a snapshot of a people and a time and a place. And so the songs are about us, our lives, right now, our time, our politics, what's going on in our daily life, and what's, you know, the more exciting things going on.
And I'm that dream inside your heart. Oh, and I'm the light that might have been. Yes, and I will stalk you when your sleep won't let you rest. Won't let you be, won't let you free, won't let you be. You know you wanna be free, but the kids need new shoes, and you said you would be there for them. And you are, and you know that it's just a dream. How you wish that these dreams would end. Oh, you wanna be free, and you want it all right now. Oh, oh, oh.
You can learn more about the album Express Cafe by Peter Donnelly at www.peterdonnelly.com. That's www.peterdonnelly.com.
When Keith Lawrence and the Purple Circle recorded their debut album, they went into the studio, but recorded it live like a concert.
And the result is an album called Figures that well captures their dynamic stage show.
She said we can't go there, no one really wants to go there.
The sound from Keith Lawrence in the Purple Circle is it's piano driven from the acoustic. Everything starts at the acoustic piano. Everything is written on the acoustic piano. And it has grown to become piano driven rock, sort of left of the center a little bit. A lot of art, a lot of drama, so it's a bit of a minestrone.
Find out more about the album Figures by Keith Lawrence and the Purple Circle at www.keythlawrence.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, John Beaupre, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Only you can keep this program on the air and get some queer history, music, and culture on specially produced CDs in the bargain, too. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on KZSC Santa Cruz, California, 5CST Southwest Adelaide, South Australia, CITR Vancouver, British Columbia, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we'll thank you to stay tuned.